Perek Yud Bet. So far, last Perek, just as a quick sum up, we did was Perek before where the sun had stopped. This Perek, last Perek, was the northern conquest. All the northern kings. We had Chatzor, which was a very famous place. A lot of archaeological evidence for the whole campaign.
We managed to do the trip. Pitom.
Okay, yeah, exactly. Pitom. Yeshua came, 150-kilometer journey. Arrived, took out the chariots, and the one thing Hashem said was, "Don't keep the chariots." That would have been a major haul, a major
military.
Yeah, if you would have kept all the chariots in those days, that was a big, you know, you keeping all the tanks and everything. That would have been exactly what we needed. First time they came across any kind of, you know, horses and chariots, they hit them when they were stationary. They hadn't lined up. They weren't ready. And Yeshua destroyed them, hamstrung all the horses, right? Remember that? And he burnt all the chariots. And this is a major part, as if to say, we don't need chariots when we're fighting wars. We don't rely on armor. We don't rely on tanks. That's not how we fight our wars. Hashem helps us in our wars. And this was a major point. 100%. And what we found was when there was something lacking in the camp, that's when something went wrong, right? When someone had stolen or someone didn't listen to what Yeshua had said, that's when the problems would arise. Not when it comes to the war. We could be fighting against all types of giants, and Sichon and Og and cavalry. That was fine. Hashem is with us when we're fighting those. But when you do something wrong in the camp, that's when problem happened. It actually says in this week's parasha, it says, look after your camp, mikol davara. Right? The Meshech Chochma says, what does it mean, davara? It means dibur, davara, when you're speaking badly or there's something wrong in the camp or you're speaking badly about Jewish people outside or to other people, that's when you're inviting problems in. Not in the actual battle. The actual battle, Hashem fights for us, but as long as we are in the right frame of mind, the right fitting, we're kadosh, Shmor ala machaneh kadosh, right? It's all from this week's Sedra. If we keep the camp holy, Hashem fights our wars for us. This chapter, Yud Bet, we're talking about now, basically we finished off when he said that the land shakta mi milchama. The land was shakta mi milchama. The land was quiet from war, and we finished off the southern campaign, the northern campaign, and now Yeshua starts to hand out all the nachala. So I called it King's Conquered Lands Unclaimed because that's a major difference between Yud Bet and Yud Gimel. Yud Bet goes through all the list of the 31 kings that he conquered, right? But then you're going to see straight after the paradox, the dichotomy is that there were still lands left unclaimed. Just because they defeated the king doesn't mean they've actually settled the land properly yet. So there's still work to do. Yeah, 100%. And that was one of the places that was left. So we're going to see in the first few psukim what Moshe took east of the Jordan. So it's just as a sort of a reminder for everyone what Moshe did east of the Jordan. Some of the Chachamim say, why do we mention what Moshe did east of the Jordan? Just list out what Yeshua's just done. Maybe one, I saw that Barbano says, he doesn't want to embarrass Moshe, we leave him out. If you can think of any other answers, I'm not sure.
So that's, just that it's to trace the Masorah, that this is where it comes from.
Yeah, this was where the military campaign started. Yeah, so that's what Moshe took in Sichon and Og. Yeshua then went west of the Jordan, and now we're going to list out the 31 kings. A lot of the land still remains to be taken, and we're going to see what was still not taken. The inheritance of Reuven, Gad, Chetzim, Lasher, that was on the eastern side of the Jordan. And then the tribe of Levi, we're going to see what happens with them and what the Rambam says.
I think also with Moshe and Yeshua, it's showing that Moshe did everything that he could. He wasn't allowed in.
Very
and
nice.
Therefore he did
correct
all the work until...
And what we see is Yeshua is very much the continuation of everything Moshe did.
David gets credit for
starting the foundations, right? Getting everything ready, the materials, correct. So everything Moshe started, Yeshua finished off. These two chapters are a junction. The war narrative is ending, and now the division of the land is beginning. Chapter 12, we're going to see, looks backwards on who we've just defeated. And chapter 13 looks forward about what is left to do and who's receiving what. So you can see here that was Moshe's, Sichon and Og. And this was Yahushua's conquest on the east.
Is this what they call Greater Israel?
Yeah, this is where we settled. Yeah.
How long did it take to do all of these?
Inside here, we learn from next chapter or Yud Daled, we learn
like 7.5 years.
7 years. Yeah, it's based on Pinchas says he's 85, and we know he was 40 at the time of the spies. So I think they work out it was 38 years of the desert plus the extra five.
He's 87 of the conquest.
It was 38, and now an extra. He's 85, minus 38 of the wilderness, and that means 40, because he was 40 at the time of the spies. So
38 and 7.
Is 7 is what? 85?
45. 38 and 7 is
45. It's 45, okay, good. So that's how they work it out. Otherwise, there's no other source for that. We know it took 7 years, even though here last week we said Yamim Rabim, right? It said it took a long time. It seemed it was just one chapter, right? But it was a long time, 7 years. Moshe conquered the east, Yahushua conquered the west.
Can I ask a question? Does that mean we said Yahushua was maybe trying to live longer to like 120 years old?
Correct, we did say that.
Is it going as slowly? So correct. Was he after 13 when he started?
He was a young guy, I think, also roughly a 40 or something like that. I'll have to find out. But he's 110 when he dies, so you have to work backwards. As opposed to Moshe. Moshe, when he was told you're going to fight against Midian, you're going to die, he goes straight out to war. He doesn't waste any time. Whereas Yahushua, it says, Yamim Rabbim, he took a long time. Because Chachamim say he had ideas that maybe it would lengthen his days and he wouldn't die so early. And he was supposed to live to 120, but in the end, Hashem cut his years short.
To 110 because he took 7 years.
Yeah, because he thought I would take longer and therefore it would extend my life, or I could maybe live a bit longer.
Is there any Mephoshim that say the opposite, that he was at the level, but the people weren't at the level? So
there
that's
are,
why it took so long.
There are. When he dies, there's a lot of earthquakes, volcanoes, there's plagues, there's people dying. And all can understand why. And the reason is because they were so busy with the Chalukat Haaretz, so busy with my field and my this, and I've got all these, this land, I'm a big landowner, that when he died, they didn't give him
proper kavod.
Yeah, proper kavod. And he sort of dies in a very quiet, humble way. And because of that, they were punished, because they really should have afforded him a bit more kavod. And he had no sons, he had a few daughters, he married to Rachav from Jericho. But yeah, we see that they were punished for not treating him properly at the end of his days. So that's where they settled, correct. I actually don't like when you see the map of Israel, I don't know why, I'm never sure what we're going to be given, really, at the end. It could be all of this. So, you know, I'm not going to have a map of Israel, it's just half of it. Why don't put the whole thing on there? So maybe put all this. Okay, that's just a personal thing. All right, let's have a look at Moshe's conquest. Vele malchei ha'aretz asher hikhu ben Yisrael. Say again.
Everything's going to be ours.
Just have a globe of the world. So here you see, it says, Vele malchei ha'aretz asher hikhu ben Yisrael. This is the kings that we hikhu, that we smote. But then it says, Vayirshu et arzam. It also has another verb. It's, we settled their land, which is, there's a difference. Even though we killed the kings, there's others that we settled their land, and there's others that we didn't. Be'vayaden, this was in the east of the Jordan. So where it says Bnei Yisrael, it means Moshe. Okay, and it goes through here, most of the borders. Bet says, Sichon melech ha'emori, ha'yoshev b'cheshbon. And then it gives you his borders. Okay, so you can see here, this is Sichon, Cheshbon. And then, if you go to Pasuk, where does it say? Hey, Moshel Bahar Hermon, Uvesalcha, that's Abt Hermon over here, Salcha here, And that's Uvachol HaBashan, Ad Gevul HaGeshuri. We're going to see here, in this area here, up here, there's still an area where we haven't yet conquered. Chatzi Gad Gevul Sichon Melech Eshbon. Moshe, Eved Hashem, Ubnei Yisrael, Hikum. Moshe killed them. Vayitunu Moshe, Eved Hashem, Yerushal Uvenim, Lagadiv, Lachatzi Shevet Manasseh. So we know that he gave that Yerusha on that side to Gad, Reuben, and half of Manasseh.
Which Pasuk?
We're Zion now, sorry. Just rush forward because there's a lot of the borders.
This week's parasha, Mafta, is by Yetzir Sichot Melech
Eshbon. Yeah? I have to have a look at that. Okay. Zion. Ve'ele malchei ha'aretz asher hikah Yehoshua. These are the kings that Yehoshua smote, Bnei Yisrael and the Bnei Yisrael, Be'eva Yarden, Yama, the western side. Mi'bal Gad, mi'bikat halvanon. It gives you all of the borders, Bahar, Shvela. Okay, and then Pasuk Tet goes through now all the 31 kings. So it's very similar if you see the after the Yamsuf, from when they destroyed all of the Mitzrim, suddenly you have a Shirah, and it's in you know, I don't know what you'd call that, prose, I don't know what it's called, poetic kind of language. This is also seen as sort of a Shirah now, very similar to Moshe, where now they've defeated all these kings, and now we have a list of all these kings, and it's written in sort of a poetic way. Melech Yericho Echad, Melech Ha'ai Echad, it goes in the order, which you can see. This, it starts from 1 to 11, really starts up to about Makeda. That's all the southern conquest. And then 16, Beit El is somewhere near Yerushalayim
so
here.
Each city had a king.
Each city had a king. We said that everyone wanted a part of Israel. Everyone wanted to be in Israel. There are Mepharshim that say they had kingdoms elsewhere, but they wanted also to be part here. And they say that's why there's, it says, Melech Yericho, Echad. Melech Ha'ai, Echad. Melech Yerushalayim, Echad. Because they were only considered a king if you had a place in Israel, right? Why Echad? Because this is what made them a king. You had a place in Yerushalayim, you had a place in Jericho, you were a king here. Even though they might have had kingdoms elsewhere, everyone wanted a piece of the land. And that's what made them into their kings. So that's one idea of why it says Echad, Echad. Another idea is that we're going through, just like the ten sons of Haman, it's written in a very similar way. Let's go through all of them. From Makeda onwards, you have basically the northern conquest. Chatzor 22, we said Chatzor is a very important one. That's where you've got the archaeological digs, and you can go and see that. And that is basically the northern conquest. And that was all 31 kings. So you can skip forward to that. Kol Melochim, Melachim 31, and all of them were 31. Yud Gimel. Chapter Yud Gimel, okay? Let's have a look. The Philistine districts, we're going to see here, Gaza area, Ashkelon, Ashdod, these are all areas that have yet to be taken. And the north here, Sidon, from the Hermon onwards up here, this is all yet to be taken. Here where Manasseh, this is like the northern part of Manasseh, they also need to conquer a certain piece of land over there. Okay, so you can see these are all problems. We didn't finish the job. And now Yeshua is going to die. He's going to say to everyone, I'm splitting this up in the tribes. And up till now, we've been fighting all together. But now what's going to happen is each tribe is going to be left to deal with their own area on their own. And if they can get other people to help them, great. But all the people that are here, Manasseh and others that are in these areas, they're now going to be left to deal with it on their own. And unfortunately, it's a problem that follows them around. Okay. Yoshua Zaken Bab Yamim. Yoshua was very old. Bab Yamim, they say, wasn't Bab Yamim that not only was he showing signs of being old, but he was actually old now in days. You know, sometimes you could have white hairs when you're a younger man. But not only was he showing signs of wrinkles and white beard, but he was also getting old in age. There's a lot left to be conquered and to settle. This is all the arets that we showed you here before. This is the arets that needs reclaiming and resettling. The next part is really talking about Reuven and Gad. They take their inheritance up here from the banks from Aroer to the bank of Nachal Arnon, Table and Medva to Divon, all the cities of Sichon, the Gilad, the Geshuri, Machati border, the whole kingdom of Og and Bashan, and Israel did not dispossess the Geshuri, which are up here. So we're going to see the boundaries. It's a lot of boundaries here. We're going to see this small area here, the boundary of Og, they still hadn't taken. מן השיחור אשר על פני מצרים ועד גבולי עקרון צפון הנקנעני תחשב 15 שני פנישתים הזתי, אשתודי, האשקלוני, הגיטי והעקרוני והערבים. These are all by Gaza, Ashdod, Ashkelon. You still need to take that area. מתימן כל ארץ הקנעני, the eastern side now. מערה של הצידונים, עד הפייקה, עד גבול האמורי, והארץ הגבלי, וכל לבנון מזרח השמש, מבעל גד תחת הר המון. So this northern area needs to be taken. Where is it here? This northern area now needs to be taken. Ad Lebo Chamat. Kol Yishvei Ahar Min Lebanon, from Lebanon, Ad Sefon Mitzrayim, Kol Tzidonim. Anochi Ori Shem Mipnei Bnei Yisrael, Rak HaPilea Lisrael Benachal HaKasher Tzviticha. Vata Chalek Et Haaretz. And now Hashem says, hand out and split up the land. Benachala L'Tishat HaShvatim, to the nine remaining Shvatim, the Chetzi Shevet HaMenashe, and the remaining half of Shevet Menashe. Because the other half took with Reuven and Gad, Shenatan lehem Moshe, be'ever yaden mizracha, they took the eastern side, Kashenatan lehem Moshe, Eved Hashem. Ma'roe ad asher svat ha'nachal Arnon, v'ha'ir asher betoch ha'nahal, u'kam yishum midver ad Livon, talking about all the cities over there that they took. V'chol arei Sichon, melech ha'emori, and also Sichon, they took his land, asher melech b'cheshbon, ad gevul b'nei Amon, v'ha'gilad, גבול הגשורים, המחתי וכל הרימון, הבשן, הסלחה. אוקיי? כל ממלכות עוג בבשן, אשר מלך בעשתרות ובעדרי, הוא נשאר מיתר רפאים ויקה משה ויורישם. That's what Moshe took, and that's what they inherited. ולא הורישו בני ישראל את הגשורי. They didn't take this land now. ואת המחתי, וישב גשור ומחה בקרב ישראל עד היום הזה, and they're still living amongst you. So you might have this whole land, but there's still a small part you need to take. Rak leshevet ha-Levi, so now he says about Shevet Levi, lo natan nachala. They weren't given any part of the land. Ishei Hashem, they are for Hashem. Elokei Yisrael, the God of Israel, hu nachalato. Hashem is their inheritance. Ka'asher dibelo, exactly as Hashem said. So we're going to see, is this a positive thing? Is this a negative thing that the tribe of Levi don't have a nachala? Vayiten Moshe l'mateh ben Reuven. So he now goes on and gives them all of, he splits up the land into, well, it's a lot of borders here. I don't want to go through it all in depth. So I think we can skip to Lamed Bet. Eila Hashem Nichal Moshe Barvot Moav Me'ever Le'aden Yericho. This is everything that Moshe gave him. Lamed Gimel. Leshevet HaLevi again, and to the tribe of Levi, Lo Natan Moshe Nachala. Moshe didn't give them a Nachala. Already Moshe said, tribe of Levi are not going to have a Nachala. Hashem Elokei Yisrael Hu Nachalatam. Hashem, the God of Israel, He is their inheritance. Kasher dibel lahem, exactly as Moshe had said to them. So is this a good thing, is this a bad thing? So I found in the Rambam. Rambam brings in Hilchot, Shemitah, and Yovel. He says, Levi was set aside to serve Hashem. So that they should, the Levim and the Kohanim, yeah, all from the tribe of Levi, to minister Hashem, to teach His Torah, teach His ways, and give the judgments to all the Jewish people. Because they were set apart, they were removed from the ordinary order of the world. They did not wage war like the rest of the Jewish people, and they don't inherit any land. Nor do they acquire for themselves anything by physical force. They are, in his phrase, Chel Hashem, they're the army of Hashem. Hashem provides for them, Ani Chelkecha v'Nachalatecha, Hashem says, I am your portion, I'm your inheritance. So three things they're removed from. War, they don't have to go to war. Land, they don't inherit any of the territory. And physical acquisition, they can't actually go out and claim anything themselves by war either. So that removes them from the ordinary order of the world, of the life. And that means they don't have to plant in this season, reap in this season, sow in this season, and they're free to learn Torah, to teach Torah, to be involved in the Mishkan, to be involved in the Korbanot, and they don't have any other worries about that. All the Bnei Yisrael were to provide for them. There were Levite cities, 48 Levite cities, and that was given by, you know, all the different tribes were given from their territory, and they would live in their territory. And
they received 10% of all the produce in the land.
And received exactly from the Bnei Yisrael, they received. Nice. Exactly. But the Rambam sees this as something to be as an elevation for the tribe of Levi, not as, because there are some that say, tribe of Levi, they descend from Levi Ben Yaakov. Levi Ben Yaakov was, he went to Shechem. Yeah, he was a tough man. He went to Shechem with his brother. They say Levi was just bar mitzvah, because it calls him an ish for the first time. Ish, when you're 13. So Chachamim say he was 13, just as bar mitzvah. And Shimon said to Levi, let's go and deal with them. They've kidnapped our sister. Let's go deal with them. Levi, as a 13-year-old boy, takes his sword and they destroy the whole of Shechem.
What's up with the Egel Agar?
Oh, he was very zealous. Even any relatives that commit idolatry, the Levim would deal with them. So they were seen as Mila Shem Elai, Moshe says, and tribe Levi stepped forward. We've always seen they're very hot-headed. And Yaakov also, in his brachot to the 12 tribes, Yaakov also, he said, you're angry. He made a few mistakes because of that. They say Kwanim maybe inherit some of that.
Fire.
Yeah, they're very fiery, maybe red-headed, maybe short-tempered, maybe. I don't know, maybe if you know any Kwanim. So they also say, huh?
It's not Nosbel.
He's the opposite, right? You never got him angry, though. You never got him. He might be slow to anger. I don't know. But they say if you...
Then also Aaron HaKohen is also peace, meaning that they were hot-headed. That's why you have Pinchas, who uses hot-headedness for Hashem Shemayim.
Because
they still had peace. They still had peace.
Yeah, he was traveling.
So did the Haredim use this as a...
Oh, so we will see that in a second. Yeah, maybe not the Rambam, but they do. They maybe rely on part of the Rambam. So let me just finish this point. So Levi, they say, if you were to give Levi a Nachala and an army and the opportunity to wage war, it could be dangerous. Could be dangerous. So it's better off they also get. That's some of us should say that. So they weren't given any Nachala. They were reliant on all of us, and they weren't able to take anything by force, and they weren't able to have an army. So the Rambam mentions that this is the tribe of Levi. The tribe of Levi don't have to work. They have the portion in Hashem. They learn Torah. They teach Torah. So the
apparently they didn't do labor in Mitzrayim either.
Very true. Very true. They also were involved in the servitude. The What's that?
The hilltop of Kavis.
Right, for sure.
Got a website.
What did they do in Mitzrayim?
Mitzrayim, they, when it came to time to work, most of the Jewish people went to work and ended up becoming slaves and servants. Whereas the tribe of Levi decided not to even get involved in the first place to learn Torah, to stay and do what they were doing, and therefore they never became
a large tribe
large tribe because they weren't blessed.
They probably heard about what their grandfather did in Shechem.
Right.
For the Egyptian delight.
Yeah, we'll keep them out of the way.
So
then the Rambam says, it's not just the tribe of Levi that can live like this, but anyone, right, any person at all. Here it says, "V'lo shevet Levi bilvad." Rambam says, "Ela kol ish ve'ish mikol ba'ay olam." Anyone, asher nadva ruho, anyone that really wants to serve God completely. והבינו מדעו להיבדל לעמוד לפני השם, that he wants to separate himself and be just for God, הרי זה נתקדש קודש קדשים. This guy is קודש קדשים, and he lives on a different plane. So a lot of people do take that and say, we're going to learn yeshiva, and we're going to be for Hashem, or we're like the tribe of Levi, what the Rambam says. If you want to rely on that, that's fine. However, I would just say that I found where he is actually quite sharp on the opposite end of the scale. He's actually quite sharp when it comes to not relying on communal funds for learning Torah specifically. So he does say this is not an exemption from earning a living, right? Elsewhere, this is Hilchot Talmud Torah, I think. Yeah. The Rambam is famously sharp in Hilchot Talmud Torah against relying on the community to learn Torah. The promise is essential needs met and not a license to abandon work. So say if you want to live like that, that is your prerogative, and your essential needs will be met. Anything more than that, you still need to work, you need to get involved. So
yeah, that was the thing, that with Levi, it wasn't a choice system that they were making. Hashem made the choice for them. Hashem said, you're not having, I'm going to give you my interest and I'm going to look after you.
Correct.
So hold it, you like that.
Correct. What's interesting, the Rambam takes it that step further and says, it's not just the tribe of Levi, but anyone that wants to live like this, Hashem has given you a promise that your essential needs, whatever that means, will be looked after. But that doesn't mean you now rely on the community for work and for money, handout and things like that. So it's a fine balance there. If you want to live like that, I would say it's be very difficult. You might have your essential needs, but we live a life of luxury. We need extras sometimes. You need money, you need food, you need your kids, and you know, there's a lot of things, a lot of spending. So this is now the segue into where we're now splitting up the land. And the problems are going to arise from the parts of the land that we didn't yet conquer. So that's kings destroyed and land yet remains. Okay?
Why didn't they first finish